Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great question. What would you say you've learned from your children? I've learned a ton from them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think even now, looking back, it's absolutely amazing. You know, our kids have taught us grace. They really have. Their character qualities that they were born with, their bents are just absolutely wonderful. I mean, our oldest son, Brian, God's anointed and gifted that kid with great leadership, natural leadership abilities. He's 37, but when he was like 18 and 20 years old, the depths of his choices and decisions were pretty awesome. So, and I watched that in him. Heather, she's very relational and loyalty to her friends and the people around her. I've learned from that. Our youngest son, Brendan, you know, he has a tender, passionate heart for the Lord. He is an interesting combination. He's got a lot of his dad in him where there's these two paradoxes in him. On one hand, he's tough as nails. Tough as nails if he feels he's right. One of the great things God's given to him, if he feels that he's right, he's never been afraid to stand alone, even when he was a little guy. We really didn't have that much of a problem with peer pressure with Brendan, and part of that was just the way he was wired. If he felt he was right on something, you know? And yet at the same time, he is very passionate and has a sensitive heart for people and needs and that kind of thing. And I see that in him now. He just called me the other day, was telling me about a situation with one of the leaders in the church and the joy it was to raise money for him to go see his mom who's dying and things like that, that tenderness in his heart that I have just watched and learned from him. And then sweet Holly. Holly is, she's our physician, and she has what I've learned about from her is that she is just really focused. She's always been that way from the time she was a little girl. If she felt like this is what I'm supposed to do, she would organize herself to do that. Now, here's a wonderful thing about Holly. Some people are like that, and they don't like people. You know, they just kind of like, ooh, stick them in the dungeon. But Holly is, if Holly is your friend, she is your friend. And so, you know, I've learned that from now. I could flip it around and tell you areas of struggle that they have too that I've got to pray through with them. But there's just, I've learned an awful lot. I've learned about organization from Holly and Karen. So they teach us an awful lot. Yeah.
I think so too. One of the books that I've been reading here lately is Thomiel Martin's book, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children. And it's for us moms, it's hard to keep a mouth shut when you have adult children, you know? It's hard to have insights into their lives. I remember when Brian was married, probably within 4 weeks after he was married, he called home, and my position as a mother-in-law was I was not going to talk to my son about my daughter, about their family, without talking to my daughter-in-law, because nothing's ever the same when you talk to your son and he tries to tell the daughter-in-law, it doesn't come out right.
No, don't go down that road.
So he calls and he asks and he wants me to, just after the conversation, and he says, Mom, by the way, give Corey a couple recipes. I says, no, and it was just a recipe. I could have given it to him, right? I says, no, if Corey wants to ask me about cooking ideas, she can call me. That's the way it was going, and have to work really hard on respecting them as adults without giving them any suggestions, even about the grandchildren. When I think it's cold outside, they should have a coat on, they should have a hat on. I have to respect them. So learn to respect my children and keep my mouth shut has been sitting on my hand sometimes.
Yeah.
It's hard, because those are your children. If you want them out in 20-degree below weather without a hat and coat, I don't know, but I'm not going to say anything. I have to go in my closet and close the door. But I have to learn to respect them. They're raising their children.
Yeah.
Short of calling defects, I think.
I don't struggle quite as much as she does with that because I figure, look, I don't want to pay their bills.
So you don't say
anything. So I don't say anything.
But it's really hard being having adult children. But you have to learn to respect. Another thing that we always tried to do with my boys is that even when they were young guys, and with Crawford traveling a lot, I always respected them as young men. Never talked down to them, never embarrassed them in front of other people. Even though I'm the parent, I was the oldest one, I never yelled and embarrassed them, even when they were little toddlers, in front of other people, because I wanted them to get an idea that women should not do that.
Yeah.
You should respect him, because he's a young man, and as he's being able to grow up, he knows that his mom respected him in public. So that was a big thing for me to always exhibit respect and honor to our kids when they were small.
I want to jump in on this and say something on the other side, too, about this whole respect issue. I think that is huge. I don't care how little they are, respect your children. And because, you know, one of the things I've learned in leadership with leading teams of people, organizations, this kind of thing, people will treat you the way they see you treating others. Never forget that. People will treat you the way they see you treating others. So I always warn leaders, now be very careful, because you're modeling expected behavior. Okay, so if you want your children to respect others and people to respect your children, then you need to treat them with respect. They don't call names and this kind of thing. Now, flipping that around, I'm pretty big on this one. Stop letting your kids disrespect you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm big on that one. I think that might be the core one. Don't let them disrespect you. And guys, I say this at 60 years old, but I'm going to tell you, younger guys, don't you dare let your kids raise their voice at your wife. They need to know every time they do that, they're running smack dab up into a concrete wall. That you're just not going to tolerate it. You're not going to let it happen. It's zero. Zip. That ain't happening. And you just need to do that. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? The big deal about that is that people who grow up without knowing what boundaries are, they imprison themselves to low performance, and they end up isolated, lonely people. They end up a hemorrhoid on society. And that's I see that. I see that in teams of people. I see it in organizations. You know, these little spoiled brats who are used to just saying disrespectfully whatever they want to say. And you just gotta pull the tab on it. I remember one of our boys had this, this habit of going, as tough as Karen sounds, they would go to push her to the edge. And they knew they were smart enough to know where the line was. So they wouldn't go exactly over it, but just get like right to it and back off. And like she would be complaining to me about it and say, honey, so-and-so keeps talking to me. I said, I can solve that right now. No, I don't want you to do it. I just want you to hear me. And I'm going, you ever get that? I can't stand that. But at any rate, so, but I happened to be in another room of the house, and this child's tone of voice, when Karen said something to him, was over the line. And so I actually heard, and I turned the corner and I just said, hey, come here. You will never in your life talk to my wife like that again. She was my wife before she was your mother. And we did a few other things to affirm and confirm that he would not do that. But I know that sounds hard, guys. I know it sounds hard, but I'm telling you, that's a big deal. That is really, really a big deal. This whole disrespect piece. Okay. Time for a couple others. Yes, sir.
We've got some family that are not currently in church. They're raised in church. They know the Christian way, but they're not raising their kids in church. How do you approach your family's children in their behavior?
Well, I think you need to sit down with them and just sort of say, you know, I'm not so sure I'm following your question. You're saying that when the family's kids are with you, and And I think having a conversation with them saying, hey, you know, I just want you to know what some general rules are, and I just want to respect what your rules are, but let you know what our rules are with our kids here. And so when they're here, they need to know that they're under these rules here. And so we just need to have that conversation. I think having a nice conversation like that, that's how I would do it. And figure out, you know, if so-and-so doesn't want to do that, I'm going to call you, and you have to work that out. But this is what our rules are. I think just having that degree of clarity, yeah.
Yeah, so Holly is a believer. She and her, well, now is her husband, but when she would come home from school, sometimes she would want to sleep in on Sundays. Well, we had a rule in our house. Everybody leaves. The house is empty on Sunday. Only person staying in the house is the dog. So if she didn't want to, if she can stay out all night on Saturday and wants to sleep in the Laritz house on Sunday morning, that was a no-go. Not unless maybe you were sick and she's going to stay there a couple of weeks or something like that. But learning to respect the rules. We don't care if you're going to go to church, but you have to get out of the bed on Sunday morning or something like that. So that's maybe a different thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
With our adult kids, there were always rules. When you come back to the house, even if for a little bit of time, you go by the house rules.
Yeah.
Or just go to the hotel.
That's just one of our personal rules that, you know, and people differ on this. I get friends of mine that differ on this. But, you know, even adult kids in our house, if you're there at our house, you go to church on Sunday if you're at a house. And that may sound legalistic to other people. We actually, that's probably the only major deal that we have. It's just a little value of ours. But I, you know, with that situation, I think if they're small, you just talk it through. Yeah. One more.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fathers play with their daughters? Oh yeah. I think that I think it's huge with their daughters too. I don't want to say I overstated my remarks, because I really believe that the role of a father is the direction of the household. But that is not to say. I think that the role of a dad is a model with his daughter is to model how a man should treat her, how a man should love her, what she ought to expect from him. And I think best way that that's modeled is the relationship between the mother and father, the way the dad treats the mother, and they see that. And so we've had dates with I date my daughters, and you know, just hang out with them when they were little, and just pamper them and buy them flowers. And you know, all through college, I would send flowers on Valentine's Day and flowers on their birthdays and call them. And you just lavish that on them. And I think that the great message that every daughter needs to hear is that their dad and a man needs to protect me. And a man needs to value me. And I should be important to that man. And that's what fathers need to do. And be proactive along those lines, you know.
I would say, too, just to put that in, I remember Crawford going with our daughters during that adolescent time when they started their cycles and all that kind of hormonal thing. And, you know, so it was a little bit of a challenge for him. So that's when I needed to step in and help our daughters. Listen, stop crying. I understand that hormones are kind of different, but don't be manipulative. Finish that Eve syndrome, and sort of help them so that they won't become whiny women that have made a habit of trying it on their dads. It was always a joke around the table. Oh, it must be that time of month. Well, I think that was so funny because there's nowhere in the scripture where the Holy Spirit takes a break on that time of the month. So I needed to help the girls during adolescence to stop whining and just, you know, it's coming on the calendar, so adjust. The Holy Spirit is able to take care of that stuff, but help the men. Now, these guys were going crazy. Everybody don't want to say anything. That is not right to do.
Yeah, we went to a lot of ball games.
That wasn't right to do. I can see them being married and dropping the tears. In fact, Holly just the other day was dropping the tear on her father-in-law about her husband now wants to buy her a car, get rid of her car that she's had since college. And she's whining on the phone to her father-in-law, ha, 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 and joking. I says, no, Holly, you shouldn't do that. That's bad to do because you're whining and crying to your father-in-law that, oh, I really don't need a car, da, 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 da. Well, that's not funny. That's not funny for a 26-year-old to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Holy
Spirit. Well, I'm glad it was her father-in-law.
Yeah, that's because he wouldn't take it now. He just knows it wouldn't take it. But anyway. Anyway.
One other question and we'll be done. Yeah. Mm.
We also have family who is very permissive. They have a teenage daughter. A year older, the belly button ring, the of course, that's a no-go in our house. So in her mind, we're crazy fanatics. It's, why can't I do what everybody else does? And she keeps running in the opposite direction. And
yeah. Top line suggestions, and without knowing more of the deal, I would say a couple of things. It's very important, especially with teenagers at that, even with girls, during that period is a time of confliction, okay? one of the things is that I would pray and perhaps even get some counseling to know, okay, what's the real issue here? What is the real issue? Why is she all of a sudden, has she made some compromises in her personal life? Or has she, just what the real issue is? The second thing is I would heap on her grace and just let her know that she is just unconditionally loved, all right? But the third one, which almost sounds like a contradiction to the second one, the third one would be I would say to her, listen to me. Certainly that there are issues as parents that we could do differently or we could do better. But your dad and myself, we're not apologizing for God's call in our lives. And so, honey, what you have to understand is that your anger, we're convenient for you to target us with your anger when really your issue is between you and God. So what we're going to do is step out of the line of fire and let you go one-on-one with God. We're here to love you, to help you. But we're not going to let you get into the habit of blaming all your problems on what's convenient, the authority figures in your life. Now, I would talk as couples to see if there's anything that we all make mistakes, and I'd work all of that out. But I think we do teenage kids a disservice when we allow them to easily beat up on us rather than own the responsibility of their own choices and decisions and the consequences that come with that. And there are times during that teenage period of time that you need to tell them, look at your friends. When you see your friends, that's your future. And they need to start owning those kinds of choices. So that's basically. Okay, can I pray? Father, thank you for our time together. And the hardest thing in the world, Lord Jesus, you know this, is to raise kids. Your kids didn't all turn out right. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us and give us wisdom as we cry out to the God of the ages. Help us to pray more for our kids than we talk to them. And Lord Jesus, may they catch our hearts and will you give us what we need. Lord, forgive us for missteps and talking too much and yelling at the wrong one and spanking the wrong one and not spanking the wrong at all and not whatever. Show us, oh God, how to respond. We want to see, Lord Jesus, a generation that clings to the character of God and the content of Scripture. So deliver us, we pray, and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings.